Good evening. Greetings to all my radio listeners. This finds us seated again at the desk, reading to you from the 10th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Beginning with verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in the vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Verse 14 of chapter 11. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. May the Lord bless to us the portion that we have looked at and read together. Now those of us of the Family Bible Hour who have listened daily to the devotional period, we know that we have been going over some of the cases of salvation and God's simple plan of salvation, and how God has planned salvation that none need perish. We are told that it's so simple and so easy that even a well-faring man or a fool may not enter therein. There is no need for anyone to be mistaken as to the plan of salvation. God's salvation is simple and plain, so that even a child can drink it in and be saved. Now, we have noticed from the past readings of several cases in connection with salvation. First of all, we saw that salvation was based on receiving Christ as our Savior. And to as many as received Him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you can see from the word of God that believing in the Lord Jesus, that he died for your sins on the cross, taking him as your Savior, means salvation to whosoever will. Last evening, the last two evenings we might say, we saw two cases of salvation. In the 8th chapter of the Acts, we saw a man. He was the prime minister of Ethiopia. He was a eunuch and in charge of the treasury of the queen. This man was a very important man in business, and he had gone 1,000 miles on a chariot pulled by horses over the hot sandy desert to find out how to be saved and know it. Now when a man goes through a hot sun on a desert pulled by horses, it's no easy jaunt, and certainly he must be in dead earnest. And we found that he was returning, and there was nothing better of the long journey. But God sent a messenger to him right on the desert, and that was Philip the evangelist. And as he was reading in the 53rd of Isaiah, Philip showed him that the Lord Jesus was wounded for his transgressions, bruised for his iniquities, and the chastisement that the Lord Jesus took should have been given to him, and with his stripes he could be saved. Now this eunuch took it in. He took the place of a sinner, a needy person, and there and then, on that chariot in the desert, he was saved. And then there was an open and a public confession. He gets out of the chariot, him and the preacher, and he publicly confesses Christ as his Savior by going down into the waters of baptism. Every true believer should be baptized. They believed and they were baptized. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Baptism is an ordinance given to every believer, and you and I are to keep the ordinances. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last evening we looked at a very, very interesting case of salvation. We looked at a man that was breathing out threatenings against the people of God and against the Lord. And one would never, never expect to see such a character or a case ever brought to the knowledge of the truth. But it goes to show you that God is no respecter of persons, and there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing, I say, impossible with God. And he met that man as he journeyed there with the badge of authority to bind and to put to death any that called on the name of the Lord Jesus. And as he journeyed, he was convicted of his sin, and he fell on the Damascus highway, and the man that he was fighting against was the Lord Jesus. He never would believe that he was the true Messiah, but right here on the Damascus Road, he says, "Who is it, Lord?" And the voice came to him, "It's Jesus of Nazareth that you're persecuting." Now, he was not disobedient of the heavenly vision. He there and then surrendered his will to the Lord, took him as his Savior, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and publicly confessed him as Lord of all. And then he rose from the Damascus highway, saying, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord told him to go to a certain street that should be told by a certain person what he should do. And we remember he was 3 days without physical sight, while his understandings were open to understand the word of God and to believe it. And the preacher was sent to his house. And when he was sent to his house, we find out that the relationship was altogether changed. He says, "Brother Paul," not Saul of Tarsus anymore, it's "Brother Paul." The relationship, I say, is brought into the relationship with Christ, and he's now a brother. And he says, "The Lord, even Jesus, that you met in the way, has sent me that thou shalt receive thy sight." And he received his sight that very moment, and straightway he preached the gospel. Now that was Saul of Tarsus' conversion. This great persecutor of the church became one of the great missionaries to the Gentile church. It shows you what the grace of God can do. Now today, as time permits, I've spent so long on the introduction that there's not very much time left, but we're looking at another case of conversion. This man, we are told that he was a military man, and we're told that his nationality was Italian, and we're also told that he was a devout man, devout before God and devout before his fellow men. He was looked up to by all. He was one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. He believed in paying his tithes, and he prayed to God always. Now that would put most of us to shame. Now most of you people listening to my voice would say that this man was definitely a Christian. And going by his works, he definitely would be a Christian. But the Bible tells us that he was not saved. And the Bible gives him definite instructions as to how he can be saved. He says, "Send men to Joppa, for one called Simon, whose surname is Peter, is lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Although he had all the characteristics of a Christian and all the good points of a Christian, yet he was not a Christian. He was not saved. Now there are many like him. There are many, and looking at the outward appearance, they would put some real Christians to shame. You couldn't find aught against them. And so we find it was so with Cornelius, that as far as a real man was concerned, he was all of that. But he needed to be born again. And that is true with many today. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you want a fruit tree to grow, you've got to plant that fruit tree. And the same applies to the child of God. You must be planted in the plantation of God. For every plant that our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And you and I have to be planted. And the only way we can be planted in God's plantation is by the new birth. And so the preacher was sent for. And when Peter came along, it's nice to know what Peter preached. He brought before them the word of God. He says, "But God is no respecter of persons." That's the first thing that he preached. That God is no respecter of persons. And that is true. God is no respecter of persons. The only kind of a person that's saved is a man that takes the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. There was no doubt there was a lot of good living people outside the ark of way back in Noah's day, the ark of safety. But they were not in the ark. It was those that were in the ark that were saved, and those that were not in the ark was not saved. And so, God is no respecter of persons, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need salvation. You need salvation. I needed salvation. And the moment that we find out we're lost and guilty and in need of God's salvation, there's salvation for us. And so, the preacher is sent for, and he starts out. The next thing he preaches is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He brought before these people that was in Cornelius' house the holy, spotless, harmless life of the Son of God. No sin in him. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us. He preached the perfect life of the Son of God. And then he says, "But you have taken him, and with wicked hands you have slain and put to death the Lord Jesus." He accused them of putting to death God's holy and righteous Son, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He spoke of the criminal death of the Lord Jesus and how they were guilty. And then he spoke of a resurrection day. He's going to be the resurrection of the dead. And certainly, as he spoke of the resurrection day, it brings before us God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witness chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify it, which was ordained of God, to be a judge of the quick and the dead. He spoke of a judgment day, a day, dear friends, when you got to meet him as a judge. And then he brought this wonderful verse, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins." Now that was the message he brought. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. And while Peter spoke, they were not only convicted of their sin, but the Holy Ghost fell on them. And we can see that Cornelius and his whole household believed in verse 45, and they were saved. And then we get a command obeyed. And that command obeyed. They did the same thing as the eunuch and also Saul of Tarsus. They publicly confessed Christ by going down in the waters of baptism. Now we can see that God saves all kinds of people. And he'll save you if you'll only let him. May the Lord enable you here and now to surrender your will to him. Take Christ as your Savior and publicly confess him with your mouth. Father, we thank you for this hallowed privilege of reading thy word. And we ask you to bless those that are listening. Save the lost among us and encourage and restore thy people. For Jesus' sake, amen.